The Warhammer Armies. Considering the wargame roots, Warhammer is often seen in terms of armies and military units, as well as nations and species. Beasts of Chaos. Hidden in the darkest places of the world are the Beasts of Chaos. Beastmen, Minotaurs, Centaurs, and other spawn of the Dark Gods. These things are Warhammer's version of the archetypal medieval demonic satyr, or beast, in the woods. Beastmen were once human, but became the true and favored children of the Dark Gods when the warped gates fell, spilling pure ether into the world. They're still closely linked to. Often a human baby is born horned and hoofed. These turnskins are either killed by witch hunters and priests, or taken by insane but loving parents into the woods, where they're left for the beasts. Britonia. 1,000 years younger than the Empire, the Britonni tribe became the nation of Britonia under the guidance of Giles Le Breton. Eschewing the philosophy and science of the Empire in favor of mysticism and feudalism, Britonians rely on the martial strength of their lordly knights in battle. They follow the edicts of the Lady, a goddess of suspect origin, but sometimes uphold her message of honor and mercy. A curious blend of pre-Revolution France, English fighting styles, and a La Morte d'Arthur, Britonians are a bit of an anachronism compared to the rest of the Old World. Dark Elves. Warhammer's version of the Melnibonian archetype, the Druki, have little to do with D&D Dark Elves or Tolkien's fading perfect beings. Inheritors of the Phoenix King's crown by way of heredity, the Dark Elves followed Maelkith, son of the first Phoenix King, into exile after he was driven from Ulthuan by conspirators. The Druki respect strength above all, and solely worship Cain, the elven god of war. Taking a cue from the original sorcerers and their chaos vortex, the Druki do not fear chaos, but seek to bind it to their will and purpose. Some would say this has corrupted them as a race and nation, but the Dark Elves don't officially worship the Dark Gods, just see them as a means to an end. Demons of Chaos. At the heart of the realm of chaos lie the architects of the Old One's Fall, born of fear and rage, ambition and despair. The most primal of these beings are the most powerful, the great gods of chaos. Four brothers who would see the end of the world. First among them is the Great Khorne, lord of all that is war, hatred, and bloodshed. There are few the martially minded god hates so much as his sibling, the passionate Slaanesh. Patron of excess and indulgence, Slaanesh is least amongst the chaos gods, but popular with depraved cults of the Empire. You're probably hearing fireworks in the background, I'm just gonna keep them in. Jovial grandfather Nurgle seeks to enrich the world's despair by blessing mortals with virulent plagues and pestilences. Finally, of primary import to war is Tzeentch, the architect of fate. Tzeentch brings hope of change without reason or balance. Tzeentch is a manipulator, plotter, and sorcerer. His touch brings ambition and madness. At times, the powers of chaos put their differences aside and send splinters of themselves into the material world. Where the skin of reality is thin, demons can step into the mortal realms and fulfill the urges of their patron. Dogs of War. As an army, dogs of war include everything from Tilian pikes and crossbowmen, to suicidal dwarf pirates, to an exiled Asur prince and his dragon. This has allowed GW to release a number of unique and interesting models over the years, often from nations that don't warrant their own armies, Araby, Talia, Estalia, and rogue elements of other armies have all been detailed. Dwarfs. As those following war are probably aware, Warhammer dwarfs are the Nordic and Tolkien archetype taken to an extreme, more obsessive, drunk, and gold-hungry than most settings dwarfs. These guys are a major reason for the success of the Empire, having taught humans ironworking, gunpowder, and numerous other advances. The friendship between the Dwarf Kings and Empire is one of the few true alliances in the Warhammer world. The dwarfs once held a mighty empire running the length and breadth of the Old World. A mysterious cataclysm befell them many years before the founding of the Empire, followed by battles against the Greenskins, then a costly war against the Elves known as the War of Vengeance. These events saw the dwarfs greatly reduced in power, but through sheer spite and stubbornness, the race continues to survive. The Empire. The point of view for most of the Warhammer world, the Empire is an especially mad take on the 16th century, pre-Protestant Holy Roman Empire. The Empire learned metalworking and industry from the dwarfs and were taught magic by the elves. The last true hopes of civilization against chaos, imperial armies combined gun lines, professional soldiers, knights, artillery, and magic to defeat their foes. Founded by Sigmar 2.5 millennia before the current game period, Imperials now worship their founder as a god. It was Sigmar who forged the first true alliance with the dwarves, saving their High King from capture by a superior band of orcs. For this, Sigmar was granted the hammer Gal-Maraz, an heirloom dwarf runic hammer, and the titular weapon for the setting, which is probably still carried by Karl Franz, the current emperor. High Elves. First experiment of the Old Ones, these ancient and lawful beings taught the elves their magic, art, song, and civilization. Unlike other experiments, elven history vaguely remembers the Old Ones, giving them a racial memory and learning that vastly exceeds all others. Physically resistant to chaos, the elves still suffer the moral and mental effects, especially when succumbing to their own arrogance and passions. High elf culture is extremely rigid and controlled because of this, and they see themselves as the protectors of the world, justifying their near fascism and unchallenged control of major sea routes. Unlike the Tolkien archetype, the Asur are warriors and imperialists, with a strong fascination in the arts of warfare and bloodshed. Lizardmen. During their time elevating the races of the Warhammer world, the Old Ones also created servants to help them with their work. After their fall, these servants blindly continued the Old Ones' inscrutable plans, carrying on adjustment of the planet itself, and battling chaos in all its forms. The mighty Slaan, beings of immense etheric and psychic ability, interpret the Old Ones' plans, while the skinks act as their agents. Saurus warriors emerge from spawning pools, ready to defend their Lustrian homes, while Kroxagor and other prehistoric beasts are used for industry and war. Ogre kingdoms. One of the final experiments of the Old Ones, ogres are among the most physically robust and resistant to chaos. Not completely resistant, however, is an event early in their development led them to worship of an entity known as the Great Maw, and granted the race an all-consuming hunger to fuel their massive bodies. Ogres have no allegiance to chaos, though, nor hatred of it, often showing up as dogs of war or mercenaries in the armies of humans, orcs, chaos, or anyone else willing to pay a bit of coin or bucket of stew. Greenskins. Mushrooms. Monsters. Degenerate barbarians. However one classifies orcs and goblins, the only certainty is that they're as certain as death and taxes. Good game, by the way. little more complex than human two-year-olds in massively tough and muscled bodies, or quick and wiry in the case of goblins. Greenskins enjoy nothing more than scrapping and fighting. Dey's dead hard too, and dem gobos is pretty cunning too, though dey's a bunch of weedy gits. All umis need to know is dat the wag. Oh my god, sorry. That's what, you know, yeah. Can't be stopped, and you's gonna get your head bashed right in. Okay, that was awkward to read, but I did it. Skaven. There is no such thing as Skaven. Just because you've seen evidence of rat-like beastmen doesn't mean there's some sort of intelligent chaos beast below all the cities of the world, with technology that surpasses the Empire and a master plan to rule the ruins of civilization. That's ridiculous. I hope you're digging these fireworks. Tomb Kings. Before the time of Sigmar, the first true civilization of man arose in the desert south of the Old World, living amongst architecture strangely reminiscent of both Lustrian ruins and the monuments of the High Elves. The people of ancient Nekihara considered themselves the favored children of the gods. Over time, they came to fear and worship death above all else, believing their lives were mere preparation for a glorious and shining afterlife, much like the real world's ancient Egyptians. For one Nekeharan, however, the afterlife was not enough. A brother of the priest king of mighty Khemri, this man sought eternal life and coveted the lands of all Nehekara to be his shining paradise. After capturing and torturing the secrets of magic from stranded Druki sailors, this man developed the science that would one day be known as necromancy, power over the dead and death itself. Distilling an elixir from human blood, he was able to prolong his life, eventually usurping his brother and taking Khemri as his own. Eventually, the other priest kings united and drove him into the desert, where he passed beyond the realm of the living, but did not truly die. In his bitterness at being driven out, this man, known as the Accursed One, to Nehekarans, and he who shall not be named, to modern Arabians, polluted the headwaters of the River Mordis, the very backbone of life in Nehekara. Not content with merely bringing the ancient nation to its knees, he then attempted to cast a single spell that would awaken the entire nation from death and bind them to his will, creating an eternal army to rule the world with. Though he cast the spell and tore generations of Nehekarans from their graves, he was mysteriously interrupted at the peak of the spell, losing control of his would-be slaves. The Tomb Kings and their entombed soldiers were not put to rest, however, and have since resumed the activities of their lives, protecting their dusty homes from invaders and warring against each other. All of these great undead, however, nurse a hatred for he who tore them from the afterlife, and the dry desert winds carry their whispers of the great necromancer's hated name, Nagash. Vampire counts. As with most undead in the Warhammer world, the vampires have roots in old Nehekara. When Nagash was driven from Khemri by an alliance of kings, samples of his elixir of life and notes were captured and taken as spoils. In the city-state of Lamia, the queen and her court drank of the elixir and continued Nagash's experiments. Soon, these depraved nobles learned to sustain themselves indefinitely, not just by consuming the elixir, but by drawing the very essence of life from living beings. Their souls sustained thusly. Their bodies became strong and fast, driven by their own willpower and able to grasp and manipulate the ether. These beings, known later as vampires, were eventually discovered by the priest kings of other cities and driven out. later allying with than fleeing from Nagash. In the modern Warhammer world, the vampires are often split along lines of bloodline and creed, following common archetypes of vampires from all of fantasy stories. Some have infiltrated the nobility of the Empire, counts of the blighted province of Sylvania. Some vampires are physically powerful, while others, great sorcerers and necromancers. Some are affected by curses laid upon them by Nagash for their escape and cannot tolerate sunlight or holy relics. All are selfish and driven to make use of their long lives, whether through study, survival, or conquest. Warriors of Chaos. Mortals who flock to the standards of the dark gods can consist of the disillusioned, the corrupt, and the insane. Some are refugees from the civilized nations of the old world, while the bulk come from tribes of corrupted Norse. Living in the ever-changing wastes beyond Norska and Kislev, bands of these warriors dedicate themselves to the gods of chaos, fighting for glory, the capricious favor of the gods, and the ultimate gift of demonhood. At times, a great champion will arise, sometimes dedicated to a single god, others loyal to all chaos as a pantheon. These champions will then sweep from the north at the head of a vast horde, encased in dark iron armor and wielding weapons of madness and gifts of mutation from their gods. And lastly, we have the Wood Elves. Long before the birth of Sigmar, the elves withdrew from their extensive colonies in the Old World. Caught between an unwinnable war against the dwarfs and civil war led by Malekith, the Asur were forced to the defensive. Not all of the elven colonists followed the Phoenix King's call for retreat, however. Small pockets of elves remained behind, in particular the colonists who settled in an ancient and dark forest known as Ethel Lauren. One of the most ancient and untouched woods of the world, Lauren is a living, breathing entity, jealous of its borders and willing and able to brutally protect itself. Allied with the forest, the former elven colonists called Asrai have returned to many of their rustic roots, favoring bow and bronze spear, eschewing advanced metalworking and armor. Wood elves owe more to medieval legends of forest spirits than Tolkien's elves. They're feral and vengeful, uncaring for little but defending the forest. I hope you enjoyed me reading this Warhammer lore. And again, I don't fully know how to pronounce everything. I did look a few things up and some things I'm familiar with, but regardless, I do hope you enjoyed it.